He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. Things are happening in the gasoline world, although I don't think it's happening very quickly in our listening area. A few notable new pricing situations is at a Costco in Chicago and Colorado. Gas was found to be at $3.59 a gallon. That's regular. Over in Westport, Mass, which is where I am talking to you from this morning, gas is as low as $3.83 a gallon. $4.04 at the Cumberland Farms, and right back up at $4.39 at a Shell station in Westport, Mass. So it's all over the map, but it is coming down.
It was coming down.
It still is a little bit because it came down.
Let's see what the events of the weekend
overnight at one place here in Westport, Mass. Okay. So that's good news for those who are in the area where the gas prices really made a leap into the under $4 a gallon range. I do not know how widespread beyond Colorado that might be. Diesel, I'm not so sure. Jay might like to chime in on the diesel if anybody else besides Jay is interested.
Well, probably not too many people, although there are quite a few trucks still running on diesels.
There are indeed.
$5.49 the last time I checked, which was sometime in the later part of last week.
That's that for gasoline for our listeners to know about in the Northwest Connecticut listening area. And other things that are going on, the automobile industry seems to have all sorts of deals going on. I've seen 0% financing for up to 5 years. That 0% interest for financing new purchases at some manufacturers' advertisements on the television and even the radio. That would be in lieu of probably cash discounts because that's where they'll recapture their profits. But I do not know what the transaction price can be negotiated with these 0% offers of some manufacturers. They, of course, all these offers that are offering nice percentage rates above 0%. There are some 1.9% zero interest rates. There are 3.9% interest rates. I do not know what AAA is offering, but I think it's somewhere in the 4 to 5% range. If you're a AAA member, watch out because you can get loans now for up to 7 years. Your vehicle will not be worth a whole lot of money in 7 years. So if you haven't paid it off in that time frame, you may be what some people would call underwater in terms of your loan to value of your vehicle ratio. Are you going to comment about that?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. And I've said it for a while. I don't really see a problem with long-term loans for several reasons. One, cars are way better than they ever were. They last a lot longer. And I'm not so sure. I mean, I still look at the depreciation of a car and we see, you know, different publications analyzing the values after 5 years of cars and where their value is. And, you know, I just look at rule of thumb, 5 years, 50% value. And that's actually pretty good. And after 5 years, even on a 7 year term loan, I mean, I don't have a depreciation table in front of me, but you should not be underwater. Having said that, yes, some vehicles depreciate more, others less. And the reality is, well, you get into a 7 year loan deal and you may be stuck with the car for 7 years and your car needs may change over the course of the 7 years, or you may not want to live with a 7 year old car. But you know, trading in your car usually allows you to get out of a deal and into a next one. I mean, car dealers.
There are all sorts of offers about getting out of your deal too. Some of the dealerships will say, we will pay off the loan on your old car and all sorts of things. Somehow they're going to recapture some of that in whatever deal they make with you as a purchaser of one of their vehicles.
So, and it makes me think of a little story I read this week or last week about an Uber driving. I don't know if an Uber driver, and I don't know if you saw that, Robin. An Uber driver leased a Camry for 3 years, and there was a buyout option. And in the end, instead of paying for the extra miles, because the car had like 200,000 miles, or just an incredible number of miles, the person who had been leasing the car ended up
Fine.
only paying out $3,000. So
Oh, really?
the buyout asterisk on a lease deal is worth scrutinizing, because there are ways of, and there are some lease deals where you can get away with not paying for the extra miles, even if you go over.
That would be interesting to know about in a detail, but because I agree, when you the lease deals on cars are very attractive, but you've got to watch the ads, especially in the TV ones, because you can't read the small print anyways. But they have ultra low prices for leases, and some I've seen GM products and particularly pickup trucks, where you it seem I these are not exactly correct figures. But let's just say they show you a GM pickup truck, but a particular model, et cetera, and they say ultra low lease price of $389 a month. Now, I don't know whether that's for 3 or 4 years or whatever, but I can't read the mileage by the time the ad disappears on my screen to see what the limitation of ultra low mileage lease is. But I would say that have to be under 12 to 15,000 miles a year, which seems to be the magic sort of regular 3 year lease offers that offer that that appear for cars in general, using 36,000 miles, maybe 45 in some cases, but mostly 36,000 miles for 3 years before that triggers the extra cents per mile over that particular mileage. Back to the used car value situation, Jay. I've been concerned, and listeners, I've been concerned about what the value of my 2014 Jeep Cherokee is with 130,000 miles, which looks not showroom new, but I got to tell you, the paint job on this vehicle has outshined what I thought it would look like 11 years, now 12 years into its ownership. And, it is declared by Kelley Blue Book apparently to be worth between $2,000 and $2,500. I think we've got to revise what used car values are, Jay, because I think, as you
You can't
said, if you
revise what
applied
you think
used
that you
car values, wait a minute, the used car values have got to go up with the longevity factors that are now in these cars that are built if you take good care of them. And that means if you drive 12 or 15,000 miles a year and you go up to 7 or 8 years, you may have 100,000 miles. But to have it tell you that you're only worth $2,000 on a trade, when the car looks brand new, I wouldn't sell this Jeep that I have now to anybody for under 7,000, 5 to 7, and I probably couldn't sell it that. But it's
You
worth more to me to keep it running, keep the oil changes up, the maintenance
That's
up.
why you have a dozen cars.
Not that has nothing to do with it, Jay.
So,
This is
but here's the
stick
point.
to
I
the
mean,
point of this comment for our listeners.
the
I
point
think
is
used cars are being underrated in terms of value once they get over 5 years old, given what I think you would agree as a general condition of well-maintained cars, the general values should be revised to
No,
going
you
forward.
can't revise the value. The value is determined by the market. The reality of things is that certain cars depreciate more and certain cars depreciate less.
Well, let's go to
And
the Porsche example. You
I
think
hate to
it
break it. Oh, and that's a bad example. We can get to that in a second. But take your Jeep Cherokee and take a Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4 and the depreciation levels, I hate to break it to you, will be different. And
That
the
may be
Toyota.
true, and I'm not
So,
objecting to that situation, even if they were to raise all of them by a percentage
but.
rate of 10 or 15% higher. And I
But
don't even know if that's appropriate. But to
so,
the point you are getting, I'm going to get back to this. To the point, there's a lot of advertising going on in phone solicitations to my numbers, mail solicitations in mailboxes, and advertisement on radio stations, Sirius radio stations, TVs about extended warranty programs that are offered. And what they don't tell you is, and this is what I said on some earlier shows, and listen wisely. What I tell you, if your car is worth less than the cost of the cost of the repair that might be needed, and that would be if it was an engine or a transmission or something that was in the, five digit range or high four digit range. They don't pay for that, even though they don't, they claim that they will, you won't have to pay for repairs if you buy one of our monthly plans or annual plans going forward.
So
And
hold on, because we've talked about this before, but let's get back to the value of the cars themselves and how you approach buying a car. And you know how I feel about this. I don't like buying new cars. I like finding freshly used cars.
off lease,
And
right?
I know that some cars are undervalued, and I'm not going to get into the debate whether your Jeep Cherokee is undervalued for good reason or not. And you know there is a certain little SUV that I like out there that, when you look at the numbers, is goes for less money than its equivalents.
Right.
And I'm not going to name it, or else people are going to run out and buy it and make the values go up, and
Before you don't buy what you say
yeah.
you're going to buy.
But okay, case in point, it is, we're talking about alphas, and the alphas have Alfa Romeo has a bad
Yep.
reputation.
And they're good cars.
And it goes back to the 70s when we had the first alphas come into this country. They were rust
Right.
buckets. They just did not, they were not reliable. That has completely changed. But the fact of the matter is, it's still a vehicle sold in low numbers. I personally like the vehicle, and it doesn't matter, and I know it's I know from the research I've done that it is a reliable vehicle. So it is on my shopping list, and I can get a 3 or 4 year old one for less than 50% of the
Yes,
5 year old,
significantly so.
significantly so. So that's what I'm looking for. On the other hand, going and buying a used Honda CR-V or a used Toyota Tacoma is crazy. Those are the vehicles you buy new because they keep their value in such a way that if you do want to trade them, you'll get your money back. And if
Right.
you want to keep them, they'll drive till the end of time.
Right.
So that's the reality
But
about
I,
car
okay.
values.
Let's continue one more level here, because I got on my email this morning a commentary question mark to you from a dealership that's selling a specific brand of vehicles about saying, "Have you checked your used car price lately? It may have gone up." And that's to the heart of what I've just been saying to our listeners about. Whose opinion is that? Is that a book's opinion, or is that a dealer trying to lure you in?
Well, guess
That
what?
may be the thing. And are they going to give you an extra $1,000 over book value because it's hidden somewhere else in the sale of the vehicle that they want to sell you? The
Well,
price.
that email certainly got your attention. That was the whole point of the email.
Well, that's
And
right. And I've been getting several emails from the same dealership over the months, and
well, because they love you. They'd love to see you run into the dealership.
well, they have me on their mailing list, so I'm sure I'm not exclusive to this offer. Okay.
I'm sure you're not.
Anyways, let's move on. You must have a list of things to talk about that our listeners would like to listen to more than this.
Yeah,
Any action in the
talking about
racetrack
the
world?
industry, say what?
Any news of interest in the racing car world?
Other than the fact I just spent a 2 days weekend at a big Porsche Club race weekend here
At Lime Rock.
at Lime Rock. And I was kind of shocked to see the number of fairly new, and people who are in the know will know, but Porsche 992 Cup cars. These are Porsche's newest customer race-ready car, not street legal cars. I don't know what the exact price is, but they are not cheap, and there are a bunch of them running at club levels, and it's just mind-boggling.
Well, I think
By
that's
the same
wonderful.
token, I talked to a prep shop who had over a dozen Porsches that they were working on this weekend, and three or four of those new cup cars were under their tent. And the owner of the shop was telling me that, yeah, they're great. There's nothing we have to do to them. They're just bulletproof, reliable, and you just start them and go race them. And anyway, it was interesting to see, and it's interesting to see how reliable those new race cars are. And if those race cars are reliable, you can be sure that the cars on the streets are even more reliable.
I think, yes, I agree. Tell our listeners, including me, of course, about how many cars are allowed if there's a limitation of the number on a track with cars of that value at the same time, or are there rules about how you drive your cars around in that when there are several cars on a track during a club event on a race course?
You've been on a racetrack. The rules are always the same, right? You go in the same direction,
Yes.
preferably. You
Don't
try
get
to
into
stay on
trouble.
track, and there's a certain number of rules, and there's flags, and you have to know the meaning of the flags, and they're colored. And in track days that are not racing, there are usually rules that may vary from club to club on where to pass and if you can pass in the run group that you're in.
Right.
So if you go to and to take the case of Porsche Club, they're very strict on how they allow you to progress from one group to another. So if you take your new or old Porsche to a Porsche Club event and it's your first day on track, you're going to be riding with an instructor in a group that's going to be just, tooling around the track at medium speeds and learning the basics of driving on the track.
So they're not turning you loose necessarily as your
They
own
are
driver.
not turning you loose. And there are, over the years, I've seen certain organizations had to have a more liberal approach. And having run events myself in the karting world, running thing loosely is never a really good idea in motorsports from a state some from a safety standpoint.
Right.
Yeah, that's a long way around it. Now, the number of cars you can have on track. Back to this past weekend, one of the classes was and I don't know the groups and the classifications of all the Porsche clubs. What they have in different what their different classes are, but one group had, out of 30 cars that were all on track together, had a bunch of old 944s, like maybe a half a dozen, and the rest of them were early generation Boxsters, and the Boxster came out in 97. So they're 25, 30-year-old cars. And then there was a group with air-cooled engines, and there were also over 20 cars on track. So those were sizable groups to be running club races. And it makes you reflect on how old we are, because you're looking at 50-year-old race cars in the case of air-cooled
And
911s.
what's the age level of the drivers?
Well, oftentimes, but not always, older than the cars.
Yeah.
But not always. I mean, they're younger drivers, but anyway, we're going on
Yeah, digressing.
on a
Okay.
tangent here with
But yeah, I just
the
wanted to get
racing.
an idea of you said there were this exciting or surprising number of 992s there at the track. Were
Yeah.
they all out running around with their owners as opposed to just being
No,
shown
they were racing.
who
They
got
were
that?
racing. They were racing, and they're very, very fast race cars.
Well, it wasn't a sanctioned race, It was a Porsche event race, right?
It was a race. It was a race weekend. Porsche Club and a bunch of those car clubs organize their own races. It just so happens that a Porsche Club event, there are only Porsches racing. So,
So how long are those races? Are they a half hour? Are they an hour?
yeah,
How
usually around a half hour, 25 minutes, half hour, something like
long?
that. But yeah, so
Onward and onward. Driving. Any improvement in the driving driving comments for us to listen to? Because I'm over in Massachusetts now,
oh,
and
poor you.
well,
I'm
except
talking
you
about
know
your
what?
drivers.
Except poor me, except that temperature-wise, it hasn't been above 75 degrees for 3 days here. And that temperate being on near the Atlantic Ocean, which is what I am looking at as I steer away from the our computer top, our desk computers, is right out in the front, and there's a cool breeze blowing, and so we have people going around in there with their tops down in cool weather, as opposed to maybe the tops up with air conditioning running for convertibles, for example, in the hot weather of where you're broadcasting from, and what we are going to experience when I'm back in that area, this coming week, beyond this show.
I always feel very sorry for the guys with very little hair on their heads, driving their very expensive convertibles in the sun in the middle of the day with the top down.
Well,
And
maybe they have
I just hope they spray sunscreen on the top of their heads. I
okay.
just find it not very pleasant to be riding in a convertible in the middle of the day on a hot summer day.
I would.
And there's a great, I mean, on the other hand, convertibles in the fall, convertibles in the on a summer evening are absolutely a great experience. Many, many years ago, I had a Mazda Miata, like a lot of people had and still have, and the canvas roof, you kept it on during the summer, and it did very little to keep you cool inside because the AC was kind of iffy, plus basically sucked 20 horsepower out of the 110 horsepower you had. So now you could barely climb up Smith Hill. But also there was no insulation in that roof, and it was a hot black
Roof.
vinyl rooftop, and it was not much better than having no roof.
Right.
Having said that, I still think that the first and all generations of the Mazda Miata are a great fun car to have
Is.
in your garage.
I agree with you on there. I think it's one
Well,
of the
get
main
one.
going.
You should get one. Oh, you're too
But
tall to fit. You're
the
too tall.
driving habits over here in Eastern Massachusetts are not much different than what we've been complaining about, the driving habits around our listening area. I've noted the lack of the use of the turn signal at the appropriate time before somebody decides they're going to make a turn off the travel lane you may be in behind them or in front of them is still the appreciate you know the sensibleness of driving, politeness has just gone downhill, and it seems not to be limited to our listening area where I think we think it's gone downhill. Other than that, nobody's speeding outrageously through the town of Westport, Mass, which is where I'm in.
Well,
There may
nobody's speeding in
sometimes they're speeding
Massachusetts.
through Salisbury and Lakeville at speeds that. With the crosswalks that have these blinking, flashing lights in our listening area, are very valuable to be paying attention to when you're coming through our listening area towns, whether it be in New York or Massachusetts or even, our part of Connecticut. Because people are stepping out from parking that's on two sides of both of the roads, of the roadways going through these villages, and very often they are standing behind the hood of a vehicle that is parked right at those crosswalks. This is sort of a safety thing I've jumped into for our listeners. And it's very difficult. And if the people do not push the buttons to make those lights flash, they are very hard to see. And it can be make driving through our villages quite dangerous at times.
Especially for the pedestrians.
especially for the pedestrians. That's correct.
And yet they rarely lift their noses when they cross the street.
Well, that's another thing. And that goes for the pedestrians walking along the roads too. Not only do they not know that they should be walking on the lane facing the oncoming traffic in many cases, and they're walking with the traffic, but they have their faces in their phones, and they don't look up. And bicyclists now, I notice, even can be bicycling with their phones in their hand, in one hand, and it's getting too dangerous to do this kind of walking and bicycling around without paying attention to the fact that they are not very visible in many parts of our area, with our winding roads, our trees overhanging, and not being highly visible in higher visibility clothing.
So, yes, I want to jump to something else, and it
Good.
involves safety too. I just read an article over the weekend about a 95-year-old who was praising the self-driving feature in his Tesla and arguing that as we get older and we get more frazzled driving, having a harder time to cope with our surroundings, that the self-driving feature was a great aid, and that maybe that would allow people who are getting at the age where they might turn in their keys to be able to keep driving for a period of time. And I
Interesting
immediately
article.
thought about you, not only because you're getting closer to that age, but because you have this aversion to self-driving
I do.
features.
Yep.
And I think maybe by the time you get to be 95, those features will be so great that you will even be convinced that they are actually a plus.
Well, to that point, is there a chance that I might become totally dependent or accepting of self-driving features as I get older that age? I must say that I have been a strong objector to self-driving cars. I cannot see myself. I've got cars that now are helping me stay in the proper lane automatically. And I test it. The Audi is the vehicle that has it, and I test it periodically by taking my hands off the wheel and watch it weave or move from left to right as it may be wandering towards one side of the road's lines or the center lines. And while Audi does not claim they have self-driving capability, they certainly don't try to do that. I find that you can let your hands stay off the wheel on a generally straightish road, and it'll stay within the two lines if they are visibly available for the cameras to see the lineage.
So that feature on the car is not about
Self-driving.
self-driving.
That
It's
is
about
correct.
a safety feature. You're driving a car for whatever reason, you get distracted for a nanosecond, and that little pull back into your lane can mean the difference between hitting a car head on or going into the ditch and
Right.
actually staying in the road.
That is
So it
correct.
is a safety feature,
It is a safety feature, but I've noticed that
and use it as such.
sometimes it works safely for about two or three times and then it wanders again and it doesn't. That's when you have to make sure that I know it's not a self-driving feature, but it's not constantly able to do it for mile after mile in a straight ahead road. I found at least at the Audi level. The Audi vehicles that has that feature. Jeep has that feature in one of their models of the Cherokee, and not on the new one, I don't think, but the older ones. And I have one of those in the fleet of four that I am responsible for having in my family, and it is not particularly a good feature for that. So Who knows whether I'll accept that the comment of the article whose person said, you know, he or she felt that there was going to be able to keep that person able to take a car on the road when he or she should not be driving a car without it.
It's just help.
Help. Right.
All right. Well, I think this pretty much wraps it up.
I do too. One thing I noted, we had a news blip over in my area this morning. It said a electric car caught fire and was the result caused two houses to burn to the ground. It was parked between them. I could not see what the brand of the car was. Not that it's important, but I do not know how national this particular story may make it beyond the local Massachusetts town in which it happened. But it's frightened me because two houses burned to the ground. Nobody got killed. They got out of the houses. But how one car electrically, which apparently caught fire, caused two houses to burn to the ground is beyond me. And the details weren't enough to be able to figure out how that happened.
We'll figure it out next week.
Okay.
And bye next week.
It is Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach. And thank you for listening.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.